I know all of the pieces and the parts and how it feels emotionally and, you know, what you have to do. You'd be surprised at how many insurance calls I have that are tears and prayer and celebrations and all of this kind of stuff, because there are all these things that are consistently happening.
You are listening to And I Quote, a podcast focused on building relationships with insurance agents, brokers, their small business clients, and industry leaders. This podcast is presented by Coterie Insurance.
With your hosts, Brian Thomas, Director of Claims Experience, and Ann Boger, VP of Scaling, we will be exploring the power that connection, communication, and commitment can have on your business. Join us every Thursday for a new episode and topic that will provide key insights to help build your business, agency, and client relationships. And I quote. Today we have the pleasure of introducing you to Nicole Simpson, president of Go Fund Your Life, an education and resource firm located in Columbus, Ohio. Go Fund Your Life was founded in 2016 with a mission to coach urban communities about financial safety and the importance of insurance. And since we have Nicole sitting here with us right now, why don't we allow her to tell us more about her mission and business?
Awesome. Thanks, Anna. I really appreciate you guys having me on today. I think you pretty much said it in a nutshell. Go Fund Your Life is an education and resource firm that happens to sell insurance. So I have been able to create a firm that leads on education, because out of all the schooling, I've got a master's degree and probably 10 other certifications, and only reason why I've learned about insurance is because I'm certified in insurance. But the whole rest of the world never learns this stuff until they need it. So for my agency, I thought that it was important that I spent the time to educate individuals on how insurance works, why it's important, and how it's actually a piece of your overall financial plan. So literally everything that we do leads with some type of a teaching opportunity. And once people really understand what it is that we do as insurance agents, they usually say, hey, you know what? I think I need some of that. And so then we help them find the best products and resources to be able to get their assets protected. So,
what do you love most about running your firm?
I love that I get to make my own rules, because there are no other firms out there that do it quite like this. I get to choose who I do business with. And I absolutely get to get involved at the level that I'd like to get involved. That's probably my favorite thing, because you just never know where someone needs the handholding. I get a ton of startup folks who just are jumping into starting out their business. When they jump in, they're like, okay, I have no idea where to go. That person is going to need someone who can walk them through a lot of the hoops and things like that of starting a business. And then needing the connections of who to talk to next and other people that they should know. It's very different when you're working with someone who's just starting out versus someone who's been in business for 15 or 20 years. You know, they just know what they want. They want a transaction and they want to keep moving on. The folks that I work with primarily, they're the opposite of that. So they become family to me. And we just kind of end up in a whole big group of folks that are all entrepreneurs, because I am too.
Yeah, I love that. And what came through in what you just said, what really struck me, is that sense of community and that relationship building. It sounds like you are building a network of resources, so that in addition to what you offer, you also maybe can help connect the dots or connect people to other resources in their community. Can you tell me a little bit about how that evolved?
Yeah, so really, my whole trajectory in terms of my career has always been in finance, but it wasn't always as an agency owner. So I have made connections all across, from banking and different financial organizations. I worked with the SBA. I work with our local community college and several incubator groups where they are introducing individuals who are starting their own business to all of the service professionals. So we all get to hang out together. So I get to meet the workman's comp person here in Ohio, and I get to meet the attorneys, the folks who do lending, the people who help with credit card processing. They all just kind of end up being a part of that network. And we just share tons of referrals back and forth between each other because we kind of are in the same circle. We truck all over Central Ohio and sometimes Northeast and South Ohio, Southern Ohio, and help small business owners learn all of the steps. So I just always have somebody right at my fingertips that I can hand someone off to.
Yeah. You know, I know a fair number of small business owners who maybe don't know a lot about insurance or think of insurance as sort of an instant headache. And it sounds like you really flip the dialogue to talk about holistically, what is your business need and how are you going to help it grow? Can you talk a little bit about that education process or that relationship building with a new small business owner?
Certainly. So in addition to being an insurance agent, I'm also a philanthropic advisor. As a philanthropic advisor, one of the biggest things that we do is help businesses with their succession planning when they get ready to get out of the business. And I know what the end game looks like because I work with clients who are at the end. So it gives me a very unique perspective because I know everything that that person needs to do in order to get to the end of that rainbow. So I spend a lot of time helping my clients see past the first 6 weeks, 6 months, 12 months, and start looking at six years, 12 years, and 24 years, and what that actually is going to mean in terms of how they are setting up their foundation of their business and making sure that these are all the things that could go wrong, because being in business is a risk. It's a very high risk thing just to step out and say, I'm not going to clock in anywhere. I'm going to make my own rules. I'm going to run this business. Chances are you're going to make some mistakes. In fact, we even expect you to make some mistakes. We expect some things to go wrong, but we don't want that to derail what your plans are in terms of being able to get that business to a point of being able to sell it or being able to transfer it onto the next generation or whatever your plans are. So we help them to understand that these things, these safety nets, are truthfully designed to safely usher you to that point when we can start talking about the foundation that you just built from your new organization and how all of these other folks have been able to be helped because of this one little thing that you did and started, you know, 20, 25 years ago. So I'm a fortune teller.
How do you find new business, or how do new businesses find you?
So I have a really cool story about how I've really started to market my business. Before COVID, I used to co-sponsor concerts. So I would go out and find local communities that were hosting concerts. Maybe it was a church that might be hosting a gospel concert or someone who might be doing some local jazz covers or something like that. And I would go and ask the organizers, like, hey, you know, how could we bring down this ticket price? And we'd negotiate a deal, and I would pay to cover the price of, you know, the admission or to reduce the price of admission in exchange for being able to have a table at the front when everybody comes through the door, an opportunity to talk to the audience at intermission, and maybe do a raffle and just do whatever I could to kind of bring folks back through. After COVID came through and changed the way that we do concerts and things like that, it's not as touchy-feely, but now I do similar things. I still go out to trade shows. I go to community events, and I just get out there. I usually give away something really nice, entice people to just come over and talk to me, and I have QR codes everywhere. So even if you don't make it to my table, you're going to be so curious about what my QR code is, you might snap a picture of it from across the room, and you may come in and kind of find out, hey, what it is that we do, and somehow get in contact with us. So I am forever evolving in the ways that I meet people. And then, of course, I teach classes. So I teach at the Columbus State through the SBDC, our Small Business Development Corporation, a couple times a year. Some of the other incubator programs, as I mentioned before, and then sometimes I'm doing online training. So I may do a Facebook Live where I'm inviting people on to learn about a new policy or a new program, or, hey, the weather's changing here in Ohio and it's raining, you know, do you have water backup coverage? Do you have these kinds of different things? So I'm just always trying to invite people in to learn something that they didn't know. And
I imagine if you are at a booth in front of a concert, there's a certain personal way you're reaching out to people. As you switch to more of an online presence during COVID, were there certain techniques you used in social media or other places to help sort of translate that to that other medium?
The biggest thing about the social media is really consistency. Because people don't always know that you're out there. They don't know to go look for your content. But if someone does come across a piece of your content and they like it, they're going to come back looking for more. So chances are you may have made a month or two worth of content and it may be all out there. And then once the people find it, they'll go back and check out all the other things that they didn't know about before they found you. So it's difficult to be able to gauge when the people are going to show up on social media because there's no ticket booth, right? There's no day that social media opens and closes. So it's always open 24/7. And, you know, just being there when you know that your folks are going to be there. So technology helps us now. So they tell us, hey, your followers are more likely to be on social media at this time or that. So I use some of those technology pieces and I try to make sure that content is available during the times that my followers are naturally going to be online so that they can kind of see what's going on, what am I doing. And I notice it usually takes about 3 to 5 business days for something on Facebook to really get traction.
Interesting. So
I might post something on a Wednesday and then it may not start getting a ton of views until Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but it's been out there and I only had to do it once. And whenever that person had to come back and see it, it was there for them.
So you're a small business owner yourself running your firm. You took a stance to say, I'm going to make my own rules. Uh-huh. As you run your day to day, do you carve out sort of time to focus on your existing clients versus time invested in building the business and creating new clients? Or does it kind of happen organically throughout your day or your week?
I am spending some specific time looking to talk to my existing clients because we have to do policy renewals and reviews. Mm-hmm. So usually about 60 to 90 days out, I am getting ready to start talking to my clients and I need that much time because they're busy too. And I need to ask them questions. I need to give them enough time to be able to get back in touch with me. So I need to know, has your business grown? Have you bought a new car? Have you expanded? Have you gotten a new location? All of this information I need to be collecting between now and the time that their policy is going to review. So I have a time set aside in my week every week where I am gathering the information. Some of it I collect from social media because I follow all of my clients too on their business pages. And I may reach out and say, hey, I noticed that you just opened a new store across town.
You know, you mentioned in describing your mission and what you like about running your own business is that you can tailor your business for certain communities or certain community that you're a member of. When you think about the way you promote your business or the way you use social media, are there ways that you target certain subject matters or certain communities when you do that to help reach the people that you're trying to serve?
Certainly. You know, I am I'm really big into studying different things. And so there's no secret that there is some economic disadvantages that come between women and minorities in this country. When you look at what sorts of jobs typically women and minorities tend to gravitate towards, they are usually the lower paying jobs, which means that group, those two groups in particular, are usually the lowest paid. So how do you fix that? chances are it's not, you're not going to tell somebody that they shouldn't be a teacher or that they shouldn't be a daycare worker because that's just where their passion is. But their passion doesn't lead to enough profitability for them to be able to live the life that they wanted. So it's that same group that is also moonlighting with some type of a side hustle, some type of a side gig that needs to have some insurance protection. And so those are the folks that I am generally targeting because no one knows that person better than myself. You know, that is even how I got into the industry myself. I was, before I got into finance, I was working in the mental health field, and I wasn't earning what I expected to earn after graduating from college. And I started moonlighting with an insurance business on the side and had to get E&O insurance and didn't know what that meant and all of these different kinds of things because I wanted to be able to earn an income that was livable. I wanted a livable wage, and I hadn't chosen a profession that was going to pay me, even though it was fulfilling. So a lot of what I do is targeted to that group. Sometimes I affectionately refer to that group as my aunties, because a lot of that group are women between the ages of 35 and 50 who just want to do something on the side and they don't know if it's going to take off and be a full-fledged business or not. But either which way, we want to protect it because the only reason why they're doing it is so that they can increase their overall wealth. And we want to make sure we get that protected.
So if you could go back and talk to a younger Nicole who was just starting out, just thinking about launching on her own, her insurance business or her education for business owners, are there things you wish you could go back and tell that Nicole?
If I could go back and talk to me before starting this, I would probably tell me to do it sooner. There were lots of times before I ran an independent agency, I owned some of the big box agencies before, with very well known names on the marquee and my name in small print below it. And the main reason for it was I didn't believe that I could. I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to develop the partnerships and, you know, get the carriers and be able to do my own marketing when there isn't a national campaign that's going across TV and radio all the time, reminding people about those national brands. I was really fearful. But in the long run, it was going to be inevitable because none of those boxes were the right fit for what I wanted to do and how I wanted to specifically work within the community. So if anything, I would have, you know, maybe worked through one because it was good to get the experience, but certainly not multiple big box organizations of agency ownership. I would have went probably from point A to point Z, probably 5 years sooner.
One of the things that I really heard in your story, Nicole, is how well you think about where your community and the target audience that you're going for, where they congregate, the places, the community events, the churches, the concerts, that they love to enjoy, that you also love to enjoy, and how you can connect with them in those moments, in those places where work might not even be the first thing in their minds, you know, and I'm wondering if you were giving advice to agency owners or new agents coming into the field, would you have advice for them about how to think about their own audience?
Yeah, I would definitely just say that everybody needs insurance, so certainly everybody who you come in contact with could be your customer. But everyone is not your target customer. Your target customer probably going to be the folks who are either most like yourself or most drawn to something that you have that they do not. So you have to really figure that out for yourself. And then once you identify who that target is, you really just want to rinse and repeat and continue to go and find that same person again. So for me, I knew that I was specifically attractive to a specific group of individuals that like to do a certain type of hobby and all of those things. And I was able to track it through all of my social media and everything that I use that kind of confirms that. This is kind of who is following you naturally. Once I knew that, I got to really learn what's considered that client avatar. So I knew everything about them. So every time I met with that new client, I was an expert in that particular niche. So I would just say that look at what's natural, figure out what that is. And then once you've landed that client that is within that market, just continue to go out and look for their twin because they're out there. You know, everyone has a lot of the same and similar problems that need to be solved and in a specific niche. And that's what you want to go out and find. I help startup business owners. They're very easy for me to find. I know how to be able to locate them and they know how to find me. And they all have the same set of questions and answers and issues because they're the same ones that I have and that I had when I got started. So I know this area very intimately, so I could do it asleep, blindfolded, one hand tied behind my back. It will become second nature to you once you know you are in that target market. And it won't feel like you're marketing. It will literally just feel like you're going to hang out at a concert or going to go meet with friends somewhere because it is just what you do. It becomes a part of you.
I love it.
Yes, yes. And I go looking for all the fun places like salons and restaurants. Those are some of the best businesses to work with because you get to eat well. Your hair's always nice. You've got all these great relationships. So you can really make your insurance business a lifestyle business if you want, just depending on where you want to focus, you know.
Wow. Thank you so much, Nicole. It's been such fun talking to you today. I feel like I could keep talking to you indefinitely, but we are somewhat time limited and you are a busy woman. So I just want to thank you again. This has been such a pleasure. I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. If we keep talking, I'll sell you some insurance. So let's just go ahead and go.
I know you will. Thanks for listening to And I Quote, a podcast emphasizing the importance of building trustworthy relationships that can help grow your business through educational conversations with independent agents, small business owners, industry leaders, and experts. This podcast is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie Insurance is simplifying small business insurance through agents, brokers, and partners. If you're interested in becoming a Coterie producer, you can click the link in our show notes or description. Don't forget to subscribe to the And I Quote podcast so you can get notified when a new episode is released. If you would like to be a guest on our podcast, please fill out our form by clicking the link below.
I want to tell you that Coterie is the absolute best new addition that we've added to our platform in the last year because it has been the perfect pricing fit, the perfect package, all of the products that I really need to be able to take this to my specific target. And it's a great plan that really grows with my clients. A lot of times, working with insurance carriers, you end up having to move your clients around as they grow. Coterie is a place that I found that allows me to start off that brand new person who just needs their general liability, and I can actually grow them, get them a business owner's policy, and add in all the things and the endorsements that they need as their business continues to expand, and they still get all the same great things. So you all, you guys did a great job with the way that you built this entire platform, the way that you built the ease of use for agents and customers. And I just want to say kudos to you all. Thank you for coming to this market. Thank you for offering these products to us because you are changing the lives and making things super, super easy for our agency and the folks that we serve.